with me to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to begin here in a series that I believe that God has given me, just maybe one, maybe two Sundays. But we're going to be talking about the roots of our life. Amen? Everybody say the roots of our life. You know, the thing of it is, it's interesting, as I have done the study of roots, it is amazing things that I knew, but at the same time, what God really began to speak to me out of the Word. And the reason why I want to go here in this is because if God permits, then I want to go into a series on trials, temptations, and chastisement. What is the difference between the three? How do I know that I'm in a trial? How do I know that I'm in a temptation? Temptation is kind of easy. But a lot of people don't know, because if you don't understand, you cannot pray effectively in the season that you're in. See, the key to overcoming is discern the season that you're in. If you don't know the season that you're in, it can be very difficult. It can be very troubled. Amen? You can be in a season, you're trying to bind Satan, and it's not about Satan at all. It's about God trying to get your attention about something. Amen? Sometimes we can be corrected. Sometimes God can be chastening us. But at the same time, we think it's the enemy. Because sometimes we think when trouble comes to our life, when we think that there's trouble in our life, we think, amen, that we've done something wrong. I wonder, how many people struggle with that? When things are going bad, you think, what did I do wrong? How many struggle with that? Raise your hand high. How many honest people do we have? All right, sure. Amen. And how many people just don't have a clue? I don't know what's going on. I just try to do the best I can. I just keep rolling. How many's been there, right? How many's been there? I just keep rolling. That's what I'm doing. And it's cool. It's all right. It's all right. Amen. How many knows it's okay? Because sometimes we're trying to discern the season that we're in. And sometimes we have to wait for God to speak to us. See, that's another issue too. Is, man, how do I know that it's God and not me? Right? How do I recognize the voice of God? So these things are kind of moving in my spirit, and I think it's important for us to understand where we're at, because here's another aspect too, is what we don't understand is that when this is going on, what we don't understand is that sometimes we are trying to discern, because sometimes it's a spiritual attack that's going on in our life. And how do we deal with that? How do we deal with the spiritual attack? How do we know that it's a spiritual attack? And then how do we deal with that? Because a lot of times, you know, we're used to fighting a certain way. We're used to dealing with problems and issues a certain way. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to ask you, but I wonder how many foot stomper door slammers do we have in the house today? Do not raise your hand. Amen. I don't want to counsel after church. But how many knows? How many are a door slammer, stomp your feet? You got, when you are at the end and you're not winning an argument, how about we put it this way? How many, when you aren't winning an argument, you get up and leave? Do we have any of those people here? Oh, Evan, thank you. We got an honest person here today. He's a visitor. You're supposed to be my sheep. Okay, so you need to be honest with me. Amen? How many people, See, here's the problem too. The problem is, and this is all about root systems, so I'm not going out. I'm not chasing a rabbit here. All this is a part of the root system. And the reason why, many of the things that's going on in our life right now, many of the things when we're trying to deal with relationships, many times we don't realize that what is going on with us in dealing with relationships, it is because of the root system in our life. See, men are never taught how to deal emotionally in our lives. We don't know how to deal with emotionally. That's why when most men get into an uncomfortable situation, they joke about it. They try to push it off. They try to make it funny. Or what they do is the famous, I don't have nothing else to say. Amen? Now that's another one too. I don't remember. Men are famous for loss of memory. Amen? Don't you remember what you said? I can't remember. I don't know what you're talking about. Amen? And the reason why, and I don't want to start any fights with anybody, but the reason why is because we do not know how to take care of the root systems, how we were raised and how that we were brought up. And I'm not talking about, I'm not getting into, you didn't suck your finger long enough and, your daddy smacked you one more time on the gluteus maximus when he should only, smack you twice. And, whatever the case is, and I keep going in and out. I know it's not your problem, brother. But nonetheless, I'm not getting into that. Amen. Your mama, didn't breastfeed you. Your therapist told you that, it wasn't love when your mama, locked you in the closet. It was probably because she couldn't wrangle you. So she was trying to keep an eye on you. I don't know what your deep issues are. But see, here's the problem we get into. The problem we get into is no matter what the case is, we have to go back to the root that's there. The apostle tells us this. If we're not careful, like Esau, we will develop a root of bitterness. I know some of you are shaking your head and some of you want to say amen, but how many knows? And the reason why that we develop a root of bitterness is because the roots in our life, even at an infancy stage, some things got in when we were children. Insecurities, fears. Do you know they have a handbook, a psychiatrist handbook, and they list all the fears. Do you know how many fears they list? Anybody? Somebody take a guess. Tell me how many fears. I don't want any educated people telling me. How many? 500. Who else? Huh? There are 2,000 fears that are listed in that book. Amen? Do you know how many you're born with? Who wants to guess? No, not true. No. Huh? Fear of falling is one. Anybody know what the second one is? And Jesus, I've got myself on a spot here, and I'm trying to think what the second one is. All that education is going right out the window right now. It's the fear of falling. Pardon? Steph is like, no. Pardon? What? No. No. Anyway, pardon? No. So anyway, quit guessing. So there are two fears that we are born with. And it's the result. Psychiatrists won't tell you this, but because you're born into sin. Okay, and they're the roots that are there. All the rest of those fears, outside of two, all the rest of those fears have to be learned. There is even a phobia about getting a phobia. Yeah. There's a phobia for the number 13. Are you hearing me? A phobia. Yeah. Yes. Oh, you good. Oh, you did not. She cheated. She went to Google. Amen. See, this is her nature. She can't help but being a help. Amen? That's why she's such a great helpmate. Amen? But it is. That's the two. Fear. Fear of falling. And loud noises. That is the two things, the fears that we're born with. So all the other fears have to be learned. So the fears that we have in life, the fears of rejection, all the other fears are fears that we had to learn. We learned them in our life, in our family, in our environment, whatever the case is, we learned those. So when we come to Christ, He tells us that there's no fear in love. He tells us that that has been dealt with on the cross. Do you know in our learning, there are two aspects of learning. The first aspect is learning new things. But do you know where the greatest challenge we have in our life right now as an individual is not learning new things, but unlearning old things? Oh, somebody needs to preach with me. I said, unlearning old things. You know, some of you sitting out there like, well, there ain't nothing I gotta learn. I'm doing fine. There ain't nothing I gotta unlearn. My life's fine. Well, maybe you need to ask the person sitting next to you. Amen. They may not have the same answer as you do. Are you hearing me today? But it is. How many knows that's true? It's not the things I struggle with is not learning something new. Evelyn, it's the things I got to unlearn in my life so I can relearn what the Word says. Because when you come into the kingdom of God, you've got to unlearn the way that you lived before, the way you thought before. Because before you got saved, you could say anything you wanted to. That's really good. Amen? You could say anything you wanted to. Why? Well, because you ain't my mama. And I can say whatever I want to. Amen? Because I'm free. I'm 21. We think that we can say and do anything we want to. But how many knows you can't say and do anything you want to? Why is that? Well, because there are consequences to the things you say and the things you do. But if you think the things you say is right and the thought and the belief system you have, you believe that that is a right belief system and that is a good belief system, there ain't nobody. And somebody can come along and say, you know what? You offended me. And you'd be like, well, what do you mean? Quit being a big baby. Amen? How many has anybody ever come to you, somebody had guts enough, come to you and say, you know, what you said, it hurt my feelings. And then you said, well, I'm sorry, but you really didn't mean it. In your mind, you're thinking, well, you're just immature. You know, if you want the truth, doesn't the Bible tell us, Pastor, to tell people the truth? Not your truth. You're getting mixed up between truth and opinion. Amen. See, that is where the rub is. The rub is that. So anyways, the point of it is that we're going to be getting into root systems that's there in our life. And we have to realize that our root system has changed. Everybody look at somebody and say, our root system has changed. See, our root system has changed. Now, it's interesting in that same scripture when he's talking about Esau, he's talking about that how do you deal with the root of bitterness? He said, how you deal with the root of bitterness is that you've got to take an axe and lay it to the root. That's what he says is how you have to deal with it. That means there has to be a dismemberment of that thing from your life. He's not talking about physically. He's talking about spiritually. That thing has to be dismembered, has to be disconnected from your life. I wonder today, because we've got Clay here, right? Amen. See how much he's grown? Hey, Clay. Come here, Pastor. Come here. Now, I want you to look at Clay. Now, I'm going to walk this way. You were drinking some milk today, weren't you, man? Now, does anybody notice something strange as I'm walking with Clay? Now, his mama's sitting right over there. See his mom over there? Stand up, sweetie pie. I want you to see how beautiful she is. That's why he's so beautiful. Now, I want you to see something here because something's really strange. When he was born, he was attached by a what? Amen? Now, do you notice something's gone? The umbilical cord. Thank you, sir, for confirming that. Okay? The umbilical cord. See, babies always know who they can trust. Do you hear me? Babies always know. They know instinctively. You want to know why? Because he hasn't been taught how. So his root system at this point, see, he's saying amen. Amen. Say, good preaching, Pastor. Good preaching. But he doesn't have an umbilical cord right now. And the reason why is not that he would die without that. But the problem is that that's kind of hard when he gets ready to go to school. Now, can you imagine him going to school in kindergarten, and he walks in, and the teacher walks in, okay, and he walks into class, and she welcomes, and then all of a sudden, here comes his mama with the umbilical cord. Hello? See, you're laughing. You think that's ridiculous. But the truth of the matter is that some of us have cut the natural. Some of us have cut the natural umbilical cord. But what we have not done is we have not cut the spiritual umbilical cords of our life. Are you hearing me? The problem is that the doctor cut the umbilical cord so that he could grow, so she could grow, so that you could become an adult. As much as you don't have a physical umbilical cord attached to you, there are roots to your life that need to be... That's why when you get into a fight with somebody, you be like, I know I'm right. Right? I know that none of you are like that. Just very few of you are like that. But how many knows how that is? Amen? Now, some of you are trained. Some of you are taught. You know, people like me, I know I'm trained how to argue. Amen? I'm trained because I have negotiated contracts. I've dealt with employees, and I know how to be able to win the argument. Are you hearing me? Shane is good at it. He's different than I am, but Shane is good at it. Sometimes he thinks it still don't work right now. It seems like the longer you go, the worse you are at it. But how many knows that in the context, the reason why is because we have a root system in our life. We have a root system in our life, a root system in our life that has been established there. A form of thinking. A form of belief. And because, maybe I should have left Clay alone. He was happy until I got a hold of him. But that belief system is there, which we reveal when we speak. Or here's another one. Not only when we speak, but when we don't speak. Scott? See, sometimes our absence of speech, our silence, betrays the root system in our life. Oh, you're getting $100 offering this morning. How many hears it? Is this okay? I want to say a couple things to you is this. And look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. How many think this is going to be a good series? And I'm reading to you out of the Amplified Bible translation, that is. However, brothers and sisters, I could not talk to you as spiritual people, but only as to worldly people, dominated by their human nature. Mere infants in the new life in Christ. He said, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not ready. This is pretty blunt talk here going on by the apostle. I mean, how would you deal with it if I said to you this morning is, you know what? You're a bunch of babies. Exactly. Thank you. Amen? If somebody told you you're a big baby and I cannot give you meat, I have to give you milk because you're not mature enough to be able to take a solid word.
How many knows that you cannot speak to clay as you can to an older child because he doesn't understand that?
Okay? It's what we say all the time about Grayson right now, because right now he has some favorite sayings that he has developed in his life, like telling people that they're bossy. He says things like, "Leave me alone, Mrs. Bossy," like to his mommy. Okay. He says things like, "Let me go. Shut up." Okay? Well, that's because he lives in an environment with older siblings, and those siblings are talking, and those siblings, I'm sure, they think they are innocent, but the truth of the matter is that how they are speaking to one another, he is listening to, and he is adopting those things into his life. Okay? I hope it's not Steve telling Carissa that she's bossy, but you know, if she is, I don't think he's doing it in front of the other kids. But are you hearing me today? How long is that going to last? How long is that going to be? Well, he cannot exist in society with the same things. And what is happening is he has a root system, and things are being developed in his root system because those roots are massively important on how that his tree, how his life is going to grow. Your root system is depending. If you look back at some of the situations in your life right now, the majority of them are because of the root system. And your root system, you can put this down right now, your root systems are creating a perceptual problem in your life. Most problems are perceptual. They're not reality. Why is that, Pastor? Well, because your root systems give you a perception that is based upon your knowledge and how you were raised or how you think. It doesn't mean that it aligns with the Word of God. Amen? All right, let's look on a little bit further. So he says, "You are still worldly, controlled by ordinary impulses, the sinful capacity." We know you're babes because the point of it here is that you're controlled by your natural man. You're controlled by your impulses. You're controlled by your sinful capacity. "For as long as there is jealousy and strife and discord among you," he said, "are you not unspiritual? And are you not walking like ordinary men, unchanged by faith? For when one of you says, 'I am a disciple of Paul,' and another says, 'I am a disciple of Apollos,' are you not proving yourselves unchanged, just ordinary people?" He goes on to say, "What then is Apollos? What is he?" He said, "What is Paul?" And then he answers the question. He says, "Just servants through whom you believed in Christ, even as the Lord appointed to each his task." See, here again is the problem, is that we want a star. We want the image of somebody who will not disappoint us. We want an image of somebody who is perfect. But mature people look and say, "Look, what God is doing is that God has put people into my life, and there are people that God has put into my life." Look here just a little bit further so I can finish here. He says, "To servants to whom believed in Christ, even as the Lord appointed to each his task." That means every person in your life, from the time you were born, are you listening to me? From the time you were born until right now, God has appointed people to a task of being able to grow you. Are you hearing me? Yeah, but you say, "But what about that lousy experience I had, that terrible experience I had with my mother? What about that terrible experience that I had with my father? What about that terrible experience that I had with that boyfriend or that girlfriend or my ex or whatever?" Pastor, how can that be appointed? Because it is whether you give up those negative things to God and let God take your negative, let God take your bad and turn it for your good. But if your root system has taken that and you have developed a bitter root in your life, then what it's doing, it's taught you, all right? Because I want you to know something. Every person, every circumstance teaches you. Everything does. It just doesn't all teach you to the positive and to righteousness. How many hears what I'm saying to you? Hey, let me tell you something. I learned some things from some guys I ran with. I can't really bring into the church. Are you hearing me? You say, then, Pastor, how does that teach you? Because it taught me what the base nature is. It taught me what sin's nature is. But I don't want to live there. I don't want to exist there. I don't want to, because when I came to Christ, He has changed me. He has transformed me. But I want you to know something, is that we cannot stay just within a surface realm, and we can only allow God to do cosmetic changes in our life. Honey, just because you get the cheekbones lifted and you get the lips puffed, and because, sir, you get the wrinkles out of your eyes, you're still 65 years old. And when you're laying in the casket, you're going to maybe look a little bit tighter, but you won't be any less dead. Doctors can help with the gravity, but doctors can't help with the gravity of a bad root system. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. See, you can't do that on your own. See? And you can't do it through Google either. How to change my attitude. Amen. I Googled that once. And it came up with, forget it. How about this one? You wouldn't listen anyways. Are you hearing me today? See, the problem is that we have so dwelt on the negative things that have happened in our life. We have so dwelt on those things, the things that negatively have impacted us. And what we've done is we've allowed that. I'm going to get into it. I can't get into all of it, but I want you to know something, that you can do something about it. Your root system can be restored. You can place some divine healing in your root system, get rid of some unhealthy root systems, and allow God for you to grow some new root systems in your life. Are you hearing me? Because I want you to know, we're going to look at it today. Amen. So here, look what he says. He said, though whom you believed in, even as the Lord appointed to each his task. See, God has called certain people in your life, even from your past. There could be a past pastor or a Sunday school teacher or somebody that had something good in your life. Do you know what most people can't get by? They cannot get past their religious past. They still long for another day. Oh, I wish the church was like it was then. But when you were in then, you wished you were in now. Because we complained about, man, the church is dead, the church can't relate. You know, the church is old fashioned, you can't do anything in it. I mean, when we were before, we didn't see it as an answer. What I'm saying to you today is this: be careful that you don't linger in your past. What your prayer should be is, God, deal with the negative root systems in my life. Come on, say it right now. Father, deal with the negative root systems in my life. He said, I planted, speaking of himself, Apollos watered, but God all the while was causing the growth. Now, I want you to see that today, okay? Is that there are people that God has called into our life to plant, others to water. But here's what I want you to understand. God is the one who's going to give the increase. See, we worry about things. No matter how much you worry about it, no matter how much you struggle with it, I want you to understand today is this. You cannot bring increase alone in your life. You've got to learn to cooperate with God to deal with the increase in your life. And let me share with you is this. Is here's something we need to understand. If God has sent somebody into your life to water, let them water. Are you hearing me? If God has sent somebody into your life to plant, let them plant. God put you in a local body to water you, to plant you, to seed you. But if you do everything the opposite to make it grievous for those, and I'm getting on, I'm a pastor right now, okay? So don't get defensive right now, but I want you to hear this. If you are always making it difficult to have a pastor to input in your life, and then when a disaster comes along, because you don't have a relationship with a pastor, you're trying to deal with the disaster without a pastor.
Because you don't let the pastor be a part of the problem, but you always want him to be a part of the solution.
I ain't getting no help in here.
Huh? Amen?
It's good. Here's what we need to do. Some water, some plant. But God always gives the increase. Turn to somebody and say, God wants to give me increase.
But how's God going to do that? Because some of the increase is being stunted in our life because there is some infections. There is some negative things that's going on in our life. This was number four in what the root systems do. But I'm going to give you the fourth one right now. So you can turn there. And I'm going to give that to you now. I have to read this because it's too much. In my research, I had this out and I want to read it to you. It's impactful, but it's kind of boring because it's kind of scientific. So you got to stay with me. How many will stay with me? Okay. I was going to give you four things that roots do in your life. I mean, basically, real quick, they anchor the plant. They provide water and nutrients. But they also create a strong immune system to us. And good roots produce good fruit and ripe fruit. So I'm giving you number three here right now. And I'll go back and I'll talk about those a little bit later. Because it seems like the Holy Spirit is dealing with this area right now. Excuse me. One of the more notable characteristics of root bears examining and is also akin to our spiritual condition. It has been discovered the roots fend off diseases and viruses by producing antibiotic microorganisms to help fight off pathogens both in the soil and in the air. Now think about that. Why is some of the things getting into our life? Why is some of the spiritual, emotional viruses into our life? Because our immune system, our spiritual and soulish immune system doesn't have the ability to fight it off because our root system is not there to fight off that. So that's why that we sometimes are not immune to some of the things that's going on in our life. They overtake our life, they make us sick, and we stay sick all the time. Are you hearing me? The rhizosphere is the area close around the roots in the soil. The agricultural company, U.S. Ag, reported this area is very vital to growing plants. If a plant is to be healthy and vigorous, then the rhizosphere must be active with a healthy biological life. Then as roots begin to develop, they begin to secrete a high enzyme concentrate combined with various organic acids. Now, man, I know this is true because there are some people, how many can say, Pastor, and how many ever say, I don't have a green thumb? Man, I can get the most beautiful plant. I have it, and it always dies. Who says that? Raise your hand. Amen? Now, you take Karen here. She's got plants, literally, plants that she has in her house since we've been married. They started as little fledglings. It was there. But you know what she did? She created an atmosphere for those plants to get a good root system. We think, well, I watered the thing. No, probably what we did is drown the plant. Okay? We're thinking, hey, I'm being good here, and I'm watering every 2 hours, you know, because I want it to have plenty of liquid. And the plant is like going, you're drowning me. You know? We sometimes take it and give it too much sunlight when it only needs partial sunlight. Why is that? Well, because we're not educated. Because the thing of it is that we don't look to the important thing. We think, man, if we got it, and it's a plant, and it has water, and we let it sit, somehow it's going to grow on its own. No, it won't. Because what we have to do, we have to ensure that that baby plant has the ability to gain a root system. And if it gains the root system in the initial stages, then the chances of that plant having a long life is going to be better than when it was before. Are you hearing me? The root system can be there, but if there is some kind of virus or something that's been passed, that's what the Bible talks about, is things that have been passed down from generation to generation. See, your temper is not the result. Your jealous nature is not the result. Let's go back to what I originally said. Your fear. Come on, somebody help me today. That fear was learned. Well, where do you think that fear was put? It was put in your root system. You developed a belief system. You believed in that thing that was there in your life. And because of it, it's there. The reason why that you have relationships the way you do. The reason why you let people abuse you the way you do. The reason why we think the way we do about other people, about church, about God. Amen. How many hear me? Then as roots begin to develop, they begin to secrete this high enzyme concentrate combined with various organic acids. These warriors, they literally become warriors against disease. Not only produce secretions that kill or suppress harmful fungi, molds, and pathogenic bacteria, but some bacillus provides the plant with needed enzymes and materials to produce their own substance called, oh, help me, Jesus, phytoalexin, which is toxic to certain diseases, pathogens, fungus, or nematodes. And I just want you to know today is this, is that it doesn't make any difference. What you're doing, you are either giving too much credit to your natural birth and not enough credit to your spiritual birth. If you're giving all the power to your natural birth because of how you were born, I'm here to tell you today that that is not where your power lies. Your power does not lie in what birth canal that you came through naturally. It doesn't matter even in the fact of who your father was, whether he was good or bad. What I want you to know today is that you have been born again. If you have received Christ into your life, if you have received him into your life, then you have received a new root system. And quit giving glory, quit giving attention to those things, and begin to ask God to help you to deal with the old root system, to lay an axe to them. Are you hearing me? Turn with me to Colossians 3. I'm coming back to this stuff later. Colossians chapter 3. Amen. Are you getting anything out of this? Colossians chapter 3. Here is what I want to point out to you. Is everybody warm? Anybody cold? You can't be. If you do, you got an issue today. It's hot in here. Hey, I want you to know, I had the heat and air people out here, and I had a vision. I had a vision. Amen. Tell me how they're going to develop this and how they're going to put this in. Amen. It's going to be beautiful. Look at here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, if any of you, everybody look at that word. What is the second word here? Your King James, it may be the first word. If. If is one of the biggest words in the Bible. Look what it says there. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ. Now, here's what I'm going to say to you. Here's what Paul is saying. Bring it down to 20th century language. If you have been risen with Christ, then what he's about to say to you is for you. If you haven't been risen with Christ, then this is none of your business. It ain't going to help you. It's not going to have anything to do with you. You're not going to be able to relate to this admonition here, this teaching. But if you have, to this new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things which are what? Above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What did I just get done telling you? If you are paying more attention to your earthly life, excuse me, amen. He says, set your mind and keep focus habitually on the things above, the heavenly things. Not on things that are on the earth, which are only temporal value. Here we're given it, and I want you to stop. Everybody look at me for a second. Can I share with you a frustration of a pastor? Here's the frustration as a pastor. When I see people living their life like it's going to be forever here on this earth. It's all right. You can get quiet because I want you to hear me. Living your life like it's going to be forever in this life. Acting, talking, living a worldly life, living a life that is totally fleshy. And we think, and let me tell you something, just because we're not thinking about it does not mean that God does not have a time frame for our lives. You are giving how many lives? I want you to know, we do not preach, okay, coming back again. Okay? You know, I know some people believe that, you know, you're going to come back again and you might come back as a dog or a cat or a monkey. Okay? I'm wondering. There's been some people I've wondered. Okay? There have been a few real monkeys in my life. Or you come back as another person in a lifetime before I was. Now, you had no life. Your life began naturally, and then you got a second life spiritually if you received Christ. And I want you to know something. You have one life to live, because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Pastor, if you think you're going to scare me, well, I already know you are. Because if you're not living your life for Jesus Christ, look, man, I'm not talking about going to hell. If God has punched your ticket and you know Jesus Christ and you have been born again, but the problem is, what have you been doing with what you have been given years ago? Or are you living according? Listen to what Paul says. Is this okay, y'all? He says, for you died to this world and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So put to death, everybody say, put to death, and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body with its sensual, self-centered instincts. Because I want you to know something. Everybody look at me. I'm going to give you a definition of sin. A definition of sin is doing what you want to do. I like what people say. Well, you know, that ain't listed in the Bible, brother. Sure it is. Here it is. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. And Jesus has bought you and he has redeemed you. The question is what are you doing with your life? I know this has taken a turn to a real seriousness, but it's okay. I want you to listen today. So put to death and deprive the power of the evil longings of your earthly body, which are immorality, impurity, sinful passions, evil desires, and greed, which is a kind of idolatry, because what does it do? It replaces your devotion to God. Wow. Because of these sinful things, the divine wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, those who fail to listen and whose routinely and obstinately disregard God's precept. See, the thing of it is, there is a disregard, there's an ignoring of God trying to speak to your heart about your life. And if God is trying to speak to you about your life, and he's trying to speak to your nature, and you continue to live out your nature to your own sinful desires and your own selfish desires, saying, man, I'm gonna live, because you think how you're living is not gonna come to an end. But it does. Everybody's life comes to an end. Listen, and these sinful things you also once walked when you were habitually living in them without the knowledge of Christ. See, it's one thing when you didn't have the knowledge of Christ, but the only way you're going to overcome, the only way you're going to deal with the root systems in your life is how? Because these are where those roots have come from. This is where the destructive forces come from. It's because you were not hidden in Christ. You were not in Christ, but now you are in Christ, man. And because you're in Christ, there's an answer. See, there was a time that you didn't have an answer, but now you have an answer. Look what he says. Without the knowledge of Christ, but now rid yourselves completely of all these things. He's not just talking about these things. He's talking about anger, rage, malice, slander, and obscene, abusive, filthy, vulgar language from your mouth. See, I want you to know something. When somebody begins
to digress into their sinful nature? How many can relate to this? When you begin to digress in that nature, you can tell because your language begins to digress. Amen? You begin to lose control over your emotions, and all of a sudden, anger and wrath and malice. And what happens is you no longer are talking about Christ. You're talking about other people. See, we want a gospel. See, here's the deal. See, what we want, Tony, is we want a gospel that's going to, because what we've done in the church is we want the church to be responsible to make us happy. We think God's primary care and purpose is to make us happy. And I want to clue you in today. That's not God's primary purpose, is to make you happy. Our primary purpose here on earth is to please Him. And until you change that mentality, until you grasp a hold of the revelation that you are here to bring pleasure to Him, He's given you everything, but all He's asking is that you serve Him and you love Him with a full heart and all your mind, all your heart, all your soul. That's what God is saying. And I want you to know, when you begin to make Him happy, and you begin to please God, and you begin to worship Him, and you begin to serve Him, I want you to know, your life turns around. But if all you can begin, and here's the deal, in that root system, you begin to blame other people. Well, if I could get rid of that person, if I could get rid of that job, if I could move away. Amen. You know, if I had a bigger house, I'd be a lot happier. Well, you got to keep that 800 square feet clean first. Amen. We got a lot of square feet, and I'm going to tell you something, it's a full-time job. Amen. I don't know how Pastor Karen, how we do it sometimes. Are you hearing me? See, God doesn't want to make you happy. He just wants to be the one and first thing in your life. God's not interested in your happiness. He's interested in your eternal soul. God's interested where you're going to spend eternity. He's interested in you living your life to the fullness in Him. That's what God is looking for. He's not looking so that He can please you. Because you're never going to be pleased until you learn to please Him. See, that's the key in marriage. The trouble that we had in our marriage, it wasn't, we both realized our problem was when we got married, man, we were two of the most selfish people in the world. Here I was, a hardened kid, barely off the streets. And baby, I was all about, hey, make me happy. Right? And she thought, hey, I'm marrying you, Buster, and your job is to make me happy. Hey, it has to be true, Shane, because it says it in all the movies. You complete me. When I found Him, I found everything. Until He starts slapping you around. Until He starts cheating. Until she doesn't make the meal right. See, God didn't call us together for me to make Karen happy. And God didn't call Karen to come into my life to make me happy. He called us to create a whole other image called the image of Christ here on this earth. But you made your life so much about your personal happiness. Amen. I thought this week, man, we live so much by our emotions. We live so much by the fact that this doesn't work out or that doesn't work out. And we're just like, oh no. My life's over now. My life's finished. No, it's not. Wake up. Surrender your life to Jesus.
Quit trying to put the responsibility in other people to make you happy, to complete you. There's only one person who can complete you, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And until He completes you, baby, you're going to be a failure in every other relationship in your life. I guarantee you. Until we realize that. You can spend years, Evelyn, blaming each other. Karen was offended at me for years over something. I was offended at her, but I had already dealt with it, but she hadn't dealt with it. And she had never was honest about it. You say, well, what it is? None of your business. Quit being so nosy. Listen to me. It doesn't matter. You want to know why? Because until she came to the revelation, it wasn't my job. You say, what? You're taking yourself off the hook of being a husband? No. The problem was, is that she became a greater wife. I became a greater husband when we made Christ the center of our life instead of always thinking the other person has to be the center. The other person has to be our reason. You're my reason. All the love songs. You're my reason for living. Until you don't pick up your socks. Songs like, you're my breath. Well, some of you got some bad breath. He's my other half. She's my other half. Well, our both halves together don't even make a whole. Are you hearing me? And we wonder why we are struggling. It's the root systems, man, in our life. It's the perceptions. It is the perceptions. It's the things that we have established in our life. And we don't have nothing to fight it off with. Man, how many was sick this year? Like you've not been sick in a long time. Raise your hand. Man, I have. Wow. I haven't been sick forever. And man, I not only had to combine medicine, but I mean, I had to combine prayer. I mean, I was fighting this thing in my sleep, warring with this thing. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. But man, if you've ever warfared in your sleep over something, how many have ever, man, in the midst of it? Sometimes you almost have to lay down and start falling asleep before you can really do some warfare because finally you've given up. But man, I had to fight. Are you hearing me? But you're in a fight that's not yours to fight. You're fighting about things that don't even matter. You're fighting about things, Russell, that in the end is going to mean nothing. And you know what the enemy wants to do? He wants to separate you from being the example, the image of the Lord. See, our greatest gift is not my preacher. I know I'm not like, you know, I'm not Bishop Pitts. I know I'm not like the greatest preacher in the world. I know that. Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I know. I'm pretty good. But you know what my greatest gift is? My greatest gift is not my preaching. It's my family. That's my greatest gift. When people see her, they see me. You know, but if every time I get near and I say, you like that? And she's like, people are like, whoa, something going on in the preacher's home there. If my kids, amen, you can see my kids. They get into a lot of trouble because they're so independent. I've raised them that way. I've raised them to stand up. I've raised them. Jennifer is not here, but I'm telling you, I've raised her that way. That's the way I taught her to drive. I taught her to take responsibility. I taught her and told her, you have got to learn to be strong. You got to learn that, honey. Now, Matt sometimes wishes she wasn't that strong. But I've raised my kids. My testimony is not my ability to be an orator. But my reputation, my brand.
is God revealing the root systems, man, that are being taken care of my life. And you need to let God take care of some of the infected, bitter roots in your life, in your home. You've allowed some immorality in your life. You've allowed some immorality in your mind. You've allowed some things, man, to take residence in your life. And the enemy keeps you hooked because of condemnation. And some of you, he's got hooked because you think if I ignore it, amen, amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? It's like ignoring that trash in your kitchen. I'll get to it, I'll get to it, I'll get to it. Now some people do it on a regular basis. But then when the gnats start coming into your family room, you're sitting there watching TV and you're like, what the heck is this? Hello? All of a sudden, motivation. I must do something now. Well, taking out the trash may not be enough. You may have to stick with this for a while until you get rid of them. But how many knows? Don't wait till the gnats come. Start dealing with it now. Come on, man. Let's be honest this morning. You want to know why some of the things get into your life? Is because you don't make church. Look, I'm sorry, but you don't make church a priority. You think you can afford to miss. You think you can afford not to read the Bible. You think you can afford not to pray. You think you can afford all these things, and you can't afford them. You don't have a big enough spiritual bank account. Nobody does. Well, you know what? Well, you don't have to come to church to be saved, Pastor. No. But it sure makes the journey a lot easier, man. Having fellowship and having relationship. Coming, man, and hearing messages like this on a regular basis. One day a week. 2 hours out of your week. Why is something else more important than that? You know what that is? That's spiritual investment into your eternity. Amen. Let this be a year. This is my real first Sunday after 2016 because everything's happened. So I'm telling you now, let 2017 be a year where I'm going to deal with the root system. Come on. How many will say, Pastor, 2017 is going to be a year of dealing with the root systems of my life and letting God bring. I'm going to begin to believe for the new roots of the new creation that's in me. Old things have passed away. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. See, some of the things going on in your life is perception. See, some of you think you've got a problem, and what you have is a perceptual problem. You're thinking, well, how can I be saved? Look how I am. You're saved. You just got to have your thinking renewed. You got to have your mind changed. You got to have the way that you're thinking changed. You think the only way you can serve God is that church has got to be this way. No, church has got to be the way where God puts you, where you're going to make God happy where you serve. Amen. How many are saying, Pastor, 2017, man, is the year of getting rid of some old roots? And this is a year of growing some new roots in my life. Amen. This is the year. Don't you think, y'all? This is the year. Come on, bow your heads with me today.